and welcome to DigFin Vox, Voices in Digital Finance. I'm your host, James DiBiasio. If you enjoyed the program, give us a like, share, subscribe. My guest today is Sebastian Gaudin, co-founder of The Care Voice, an insurtech that is working with insurance companies to help them engage with their members through the building and creating of super apps. The Care Voice just raised $10 million in Series B. I spoke with Sebastian about the big trends that has enabled him to achieve this funding milestone and what it is that the insurance industry is really looking for. Sebastian Gaudin from The Care Voice, welcome to DigFin Vox.
Hey, Jamin. Good to see you.
Good to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah, definitely. Great to catch up again.
The last time I spoke with you, you had not just closed a $10 million Series B fundraising. So I guess that's new.
Yeah, definitely. That's what we announced, I think, last week.
Okay.
A great development. After, a journey and a challenging and a bumpy road, but glad to have completed that step.
Well, congratulations to you and to your team. Getting a large insurtech fundraise in 2024 is pretty unusual. So, I think it's a great sign for your business. Before that, why don't we just give for the audience a quick intro, because I think your business has changed since you launched in Shanghai some years ago. You've sort of evolved. So give us a quick rundown of kind of how the Care Voice started and where you're at today.
So the company was started as a pure consumer app, addressing the trust issue from consumers for medical services. So kind of a trip advisor for healthcare. From that initial model, where we stayed like maybe 2 years, late 16, early 17, we pivoted in what became Care Voice over the time. So dedicated to work with insurance company as an enterprise software and helping insurers to put a health value as a core of how they can engage with their customers. So moving away from being a passive payer of medical or life claims, but proactively support their customer in their health journey.
And we've seen this, we've seen this, a number of insurers have woken up to the idea that health and also wellness is a buzzword that gets thrown around a lot as a way to make that engagement. It's a little bit weird for them because traditionally large insurance companies, they have agencies and they have bank assurance, but they don't really deal with the actual policyholders except when somebody wants to make a claim. So what is the benefit that you're bringing? You know, why is it that there's this interest in the health space of having this kind of more direct relationship?
I think it's true across insurance lines, right? Across insurance lines, insurers have been trying to get much closer to customers. From any businesses, if you are closer to customers, you can have a better perceived value what you deliver to customers, retain them. And you mentioned embedded insurance as a proxy to where we play. And indeed, new ways of bringing insurance is to embed an insurance product with other services. In the health and life space, I think we see definitely the influence of how healthy people are, how people consume healthcare on a medical insurance or a life product. Mm-hmm. But I would say at this stage, the primary driver for insurers to go into embedded health is first customer acquisition, because they change really their value proposition. Especially in some markets where insurance products are maybe newer, or people start to be kind of dissatisfied with what they have, helping their customers to get a true health value, helping them to live a healthier life along the way, making it easier to access medical services. It's something that can be a driver for buying medical or life insurance, either as an individual or for employers who bring a group or group life, group health. So I think that's the primary reason. The second reason is who to buy, then it's more healthier customer. People who are more, you know, attracted by this kind of value proposition are more likely to buy this insurance. So it's a positive selection. Insurers attract people who are more likely to consume digitally, to adopt healthier behavior. So it means that down the road, also have less claim. So that, I would say the primary reason why insurers go into embedded health. Then
when you say fewer claims down retention, the road, because you were talking about people that are probably more naturally healthy or affluent or some, you know, there's some correlation there. If they're actually bothering to think about health insurance, then they probably need it less than people who don't. Is that kind of what you're trying to say there?
I think everyone needs health insurance or life insurance, right? Because you may be exposed to, of course, to those risks and the need to consume sure. medical services. It's just the fact that you may pay more attention to how to your health, right? So it means that you are maybe lower risk. But again, that works for individual. If you look at group and employer, then of course you have a spread of customer base. And also you can apply this to existing portfolio. And I think that's very interesting to look at this for life products. You know, life insurers have very large in-force portfolio, but they don't have much clue about how healthy, what the level of risk, how it evolved over time. Maybe 3-5 years ago when people were underwriting, they completed by then a medical checkup or a questionnaire, but their risk may be very different. And insurers have to put a lot of money in reserve for that kind of product. So if by rolling out an effective embedded health program to your customer, you start to have a better understanding of their risk profile, then you may see that some people have been overpriced. In this case, it works maybe to anticipate and maybe give them, you know, a lower premium with more value, and so that they stay with you. If, and on the contrary, they've been underpriced, you may not be able and authorized to charge them more, but you see that they are at risk of higher claims. So then you may need to invest more in some health intervention, very directed, because some people are at risk of some specific disease and so on. So I think, again, that's also a very interesting play for especially life insurers who are exposed to a long-term risk and who are a bit blinded about the risk of their portfolio.
I guess the question of how does the carrier brand themselves or try to create some sort of sense of relationship or ownership of that customer?
Yeah. So maybe one clarification. So you started with embedded insurance, and actually we are not a pure embedded insurance player. We're more shaping a new category that we refer as embedded health. And we don't do it alone. We do it with other industry leaders, such as Swiss Re, Generali, or some key influencer. And it's about bringing together a set of relevant digital health services under a single seamless user experience. And wherever are the business partners with who we work, so, and wherever they wish to engage that customer. So to your point, an insurer may first, you know, roll out this kind of super app around, you know, health services, wellness, to their customers, existing customers, to their various channels that they are using, but it's ultimately their brand. So for instance, with Prudential Financial, the US one, we help them to launch the fully super app. They used to actually had a Vitality app, and they still work with Vitality, but we embedded Vitality as part of the more holistic offering inside Fully. So Fully become their, you know, go-to app for their customers to benefit from a set of relevant health and wellness value. And that could be brought inside any channel. So if they work with different financial advisors, a special bank, and so on, they have also the flexibility about how to bring this to those customers.
So in other words, you create this holistic experience in an app environment that connects a carrier along with perhaps other related services that they are choosing. They're creating that set of partnerships around health, wellness, lifestyle. You can access it either via directly the Prudential app, or you could access it. Prudential could place that app with another partner in their ecosystem online somewhere. So it could be a hospital, or it could be you could tell me what
digital distribution channel, alternative channel, Revolut, or.
But when you go there, you're still interacting directly with the insurer, the brand of the insurer, and you're totally aware, you make a conscious decision that is the entity that you're dealing with.
Yeah, I think it depends on the brand that is used. So for instance, I mentioned Fully for Prudential, which is a brand that they are using, and they can bring it to various business partners, including other insurers, which are not necessarily life, but sometimes in medical insurance, for instance. MetLife, in another way, they use 360 Health. So 360 Health is the brand that that support their health and wellness value proposition. And you have a single app, 360 Health. But the way we work at CareVoice, as a platform, we are headless, so we can deliver those user journey, the health and wellness ecosystem behind in any front end. So that gives the flexibility of the insurers to go into new ways of distributing their health value proposition and ultimately be a preferred partner than to serve those customers with their insurance products.
Right. Give me an example of one or two of these kinds of places where you might find these insurance apps out there trying to get in front of people.
Yeah, I think it's it depends on type of product. We've been preparing, for instance, in India, where they use a lot of a credit facility agency, very local businesses. And these kind of businesses can bring directly this type of wellness value proposition to the people who want to subscribe. And it's really part of their offering ultimately in the distribution channel. So I think this way of distribution is pretty new. Mm-hmm. The way we've been rolling out our capability, I would say, a few years ago was through our own MGA. You may recall we split off a company for especially for China and Hong Kong, which was our own brand with different underwriter behind. And here we had significant experience of embedding this into including, for instance, co-working brand like WeWork or different brand for SMEs or sports brand. But I think insurers are still in the early days of that. So the way we've been rolling out now, and this is how we've been scaling across now 15 countries and a few major insurers, has been first to their way of distributing, right? So first you do it along the way of how they've been working. And mm-hmm. then gradually you can open doors to new way of distribution. And that's more transformative. But I think it will take time. So already, changing the way of insurers to position themselves
and just getting them to get out
is
with
already
some sort of...
something that's transformative. But gradually, yeah. You can open much more.
Right. So just getting carriers, insurance companies to try some sort of digital distribution or get themselves out there in venues where people might be able to access them. That's not a traditional agent relationship or a bank assurance relationship.
Yeah, so you need to first solidify how they do the business today, right? Yeah. And make sure that already there, it's something that works. So a lot of the rollout we've been doing has been making sure that, beyond the end user, but the agents, the bank channels, the people working there understand the value proposition, are excited about it, are willing to promote it. That's kind of first step, right? If you need to be there because you need to first enhance the way the business goes, and then you can go beyond and be more transformative.
It seems to me that you mentioned Prudential International, which is the U.S. Company. I think I've also seen you guys mention MetLife, another U.S. company. These are both companies in the Asia context. Maybe not the same in Japan and Korea, but in the rest of Asia. These companies have a lighter footprint. They don't have big agency forces or any agency forces. So in that sense, it seems to me these are carriers for whom it's an easy call to experiment with this because there's no agency sales force to potentially upset.
With Prudential, we've started with a first pilot in China, but now the most focus we do with them is in LATAM. Okay. Where they had the Vitality program in Brazil and Argentina, and we are expanding with them in other countries in LATAM and even other regions. And MetLife, actually, they had the 360 Health in program in first countries in Asia, but where we are helping them is across EMEA. So to your point, I see also some insurers like pure Asian insurers like AIA or even the Prudential UK, right? Prudential mm-hmm. Asia. Who both have been, actively also playing there, right? AIS with the Vitality program, yeah. Prudential made an attempt with their Pulse, And they have a of course a strong agency field, right? So I don't think it's a conflict. What is important is how you equipped, right? How it becomes also part of a value for the agencies, that they can reflect this into their relationship with customers. We brought in as part of our leadership team Simon Guest, who has a chief commercial officer, and he was he has 20 years experience in life and health, but mostly life, but also and in AXA in Generali for global role. And last role he did launch and scale the Vitality program with Generali across 7 European countries. And very interestingly is whatever is a program in terms of wellness and the more holistic, the more you can address different consumer needs. But what is interesting is how you shape the program with the business objective, and how you help the your distribution networks to take advantage of that, right? If the program, because in embedding this kind of program with your product allows to assume in the long term a healthier population book, so you can have a premium discount, for instance. How you can allocate this premium discount so that the sales force can potentially reinvest that discount to the customers, so that they buy more. They may have more on saving products. So you have different ways to really drive business value, business growth, profitability. Incentivizing specific riders for those programs and so on. So that's also very interesting. And back to your point, there is way to work, I think, with various channels, and this including traditional way of distributing insurance.
So Sebastian, you've referenced Vitality a couple of times. Do you see yourself basically as creating a different version of that service, one that CareVoice helps curate and put together for insurers, maybe a little more bespoke for those clients, but essentially that kind of service? Or am I misreading what you're trying to do here?
No, it's a good question. No, I don't think we are competing with Vitality. I think we are more complementary. So for instance, for Prudential, we've been helping Prudential to replace Vitality app by Fully Super app. But inside Fully Super app, you have three dimensions around the total wellness: physical wellness, mental wellness, financial wellness. The physical wellness piece has different components, including a Vitality component. So CareVoice did integrate with Vitality so that we can bring some component of Vitality, including some branding element, inside the Fully Super app. So what we see is that, of course, with Vitality has been a pioneer in the physical wellness, right? Rewarding for your physical activity. But what is also the trend is how you, with the boom of digital health, and you have not only in the wellness side, but also on more access to medical services, a real wealth of opportunity to engage customer to be healthier, to access more easily medical services. So we play a role as service and data orchestration. We play a role of user journey configuration, and we can bring this into one single user experience. So players who have been working with Vitality, for instance, may have the appetite to go and expand their offering to customers, and we can help them to move along those lines while keeping the value of what they have.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Sebastian. When you talk about a super app, to me, a super app is something like WeChat. It has all aspects of your life. I mean, health is one aspect, but there might be many lifestyle aspects. And fundamentally, there's a payments component to this. So when you use super app, can you tell me what that means? What is a super app in your definition? Yeah, so and I is there, and the, what is the payment side to this in the back?
Yeah, why using the word super app is, again, you integrate various type of applications inside a single user experience, where the user don't need to move from one app to another app, right? So it could be it could be limited to a few, 5, 6, 7 key digital services into one single user experience, but it could be much more holistic. So for instance, we are preparing for AXA Global Healthcare, which is their international arm for more individual medical insurance or group, but quite high end, where we help them to put together under one super app both the whole insurance experience, the whole wellness experience, but also the digitization of the medical access, right? Any medical access services. So for instance, they were working with Teladoc, which is a quite a known telemedicine player. We integrated Teladoc as part of CareVoice OS in our ecosystem, and in this super app experience, you have the full journey there. Back to the payment point, they did a partnership with another insurtech company around wallet, right? Digital wallet, to fill the gap of they don't have direct billing network across the world, while their customers may travel and may work in very different places where they don't have direct billing. So this virtual card allows to directly on site to pay, and there is a automatic underwriting for a number of situations where you don't need to on the claim side, so that it can be paid directly on site. We did integrate also that wallet as part of the super experience. So you can really have a full user journey.
Right.
One single experience. Yeah.
So that fintech wallet is now, you can use it unless the client doesn't want it, I suppose. You could use it across many of your different apps that you build for companies.
So that integration done, indeed, we as an ecosystem player, yeah, we can work with...
May I ask which fintech it is that's helping you with your payments?
I can give you the name offline. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. And then when it comes down to working with partners, working with the carrier, working with a variety of providers that sit within these apps or super apps that you're creating, what is the ownership? Who owns the data and who owns the customer?
Yeah. So customers are owned by our client, the insurers. Mm-hmm. And data are owned by our insurer clients also. Okay. Right? So we are here as a technology enabler. We are here to really do this service and data orchestration, make it very easy to configure various user journey depending on populations, depending on products, depending even on markets. We are here to drive also engagement. We have including in the core of our platform an engagement framework that is super important to go beyond just aggregating services. And all that is to empower the insurers so that they can take control of how they want to engage customers, how they want to link it with their product.
You raise a lot of money. I'm sure some of this is going to sales and business development and marketing, you know, the usual business growth things. But also, I'm sure there must be an IT or a technology component here. You know, what are you looking at in terms of where the technology behind your capabilities and your platform is going, and what do you plan to invest in from a tech point of view?
Yeah, I think actually it's the most use of the funds are towards our product and tech. We'll announce soon our new chief product officer. Actually, been working with us, but more or less part time for some time. Who actually come from he had an experience. He comes from the gaming industry, and after that he went at Manulife. He was in charge of Move program, which is their also health engagement program. Yes. inside Manulife in Asia. And he's been quite instrumental to shape the next generation of the platform that we are preparing. Because actually, we the past 18 months, 2 years, we managed to be actually cash flow neutral. So being able to grow 2 times year on year while not burning money. But when you do this, you have to be highly focused, and you can't really invest in your stack, right? So we've been working with a few major customers, making sure that we improve the way we collaborate with them. We improve the solution that we've been building for them. But actually, we've been doing very little cross customers in terms of upgrading the platform. So now we reach a stage where it's very super important that we accelerate the standardization, that we can make sure that we can have one single product stack that can fit a number of customization that can be directly done without coding. Because otherwise you still bear a certain significant cost of implementation, even though we are fast to implement with the insurers, because within 3 months we can be live, but it's still, you can go faster, you can make it easier even for them to upgrade. So that's an important piece. The other piece is more around this user journey configuration. We want to make very easy for us and our customers to ultimately create as many relevant journey for the different segments of users that they are serving. That's the value of having an holistic health and wellness ecosystem. And you can, depending also on the type of product, depending on the premium and so on, you can tailor different user journeys. So how you make this also super easy to configure, again, on the fly, being able to adjust, you know, directly how the front end looks like to engage different population. And I mentioned the engagement framework. So this is an area where we've been putting some decent effort for the past 12 months, but inside each of our customer solution. Mm-hmm. And this is about how you have a glue across your health and wellness services that help the user to take it where he is in terms of health situation to what he wants to improve, how you can help him. So, you know, setting goals, having tasks, having challenges, and each and the framework linked to the different services that can support the dimensions in the health that the person wants to improve. So it's an area where then you have to run the engagement. When you launch this kind of super app and kind of engagement program, it's not something that is static. You have to you know, make evolve the task, create the challenges, see how the people respond. So all this iteration, it's something that we can support. We have a, you know, a team that support that for the insurers, but you can also start to automate part of this. So we have a significant work that is starting to take place and where we can leverage AI to automate part of this engagement and make it step by step more personalized to each individual. And we'll take off any burden from operating this kind of you know, effective way to engage customers.
How do people find these apps? I mean, if it's down to the insurance companies trying to just promote these and market these themselves, is that going to be enough? You know, what are the ways that you're seeing so far that your customers are trying to gain traction, gain usership, and get that ball rolling so that people then stay engaged?
Yeah, exactly. So you are touching a very important point. Before engagement, there is a step that we call as activation. Mm-hmm. Right? So the activation is onboarding, right? So getting the customers on. And this is an area where we had some experience already. We had built some playbooks. And in general, I tend to say you have three important things. One is communication, is how you have a very single, clear way to communicate to customers a reason to join or to benefit from that. Two is more in terms of the actual process to do it should be a single step, right? You see how it works in Asia. It's super easy to activate any app, but if you look at any insurance app, it's a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
So how this kind of experience should be really a single step sign up. So for that you have to do a lot behind the scene so that can work this way. And third is the different touch points and where you can really connect or inform and invite customers. And I think, again, back to what the discussion we had earlier on the distribution channel, I think this is a very important channel, especially for any new customer. If it's part of the value proposition of why to subscribe to that medical insurance or to that life insurance, that should be at the point of sale that you onboard directly the customer. So the agent should be very easy for them to, you know, let a customer scan up, see a right. link, directly sign yeah. up.
But this is customer point. But Sebastian, we're talking about customer engagement, retaining customers you've already attracted one time, but it's not necessarily finding customers in other places that you could then convert. So I just want to make sure I understand that at the end of the day, this is a tool.
The way to roll out could be there are different ways to roll out, depending on your business objective, right? Some insurers are, for instance, a very large potential customer base through their bank channel partners, but they are not yet, subscriber of insurance. So right, in this case, you may start to roll out the program without necessarily yet the insurance attached, but then you give the opportunity to, once you onboard the customers, that to have an opportunity to come and engage a customer for potentially subscribing to the insurance. Okay. So it depends of how, again, back to the way to roll out this kind of program is super important to be tailored to the business objective of the insurer, because ultimately the programs are similar, right? You have a set of health and wellness services, you have a framework to engage customers, it needs to respond to the need on this specific market of the population that the customers, that insurance is targeting. But then depending on who you go for, You need to shape the program accordingly. Yeah. So that's an important piece. And the back to the activation, it's an area where we have often a dependency. So on the insurers, on the channels. So how you make it very easy for them, right? To onboard the customers, how you can automate things, how you can take control potentially on the ability to email or reach out existing customers while you are doing it on behalf of the insurer or that entity. So these are important elements to make it happen. But again, we build playbook on that and we assist insurers, because this is a very first step when you roll this kind of program that needs to happen so that you can then engage at scale.
Terrific. Sebastian, I want to thank you for your time. Thanks for joining me in DigiFin Vox. Congratulations again on the big fundraise, and look forward to seeing how it all develops.
Thank you so much. It was great to be at DigiFin.